is a lamp to my feet and a light unto my path. Thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light unto my path. I will not forget your love for me. My heart forever is wandering. And Jesus, be my guide and hold me to your side, and I will love you till the end. Thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light. Thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light unto my path. Nothing will I fear as long as you are near. Please be near me to the end. Is a lamp to my feet and a light unto my path. Thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light unto my path. And you're the light unto my path. You're the
praise the Lord. When I was little in Sunday school class, they taught us about the Bible being our roadmap. Amen. And if we stay the course and follow the map, that we can't go wrong. Amen. But it's something that we can't just look at the map once and then discard it and then just kind of go on our own. Amen. It's got to be something that we look at and we read and we trust in daily. Amen. Right. It's got to be, like this next song says, it's got to be the air that we breathe. Amen. It's got to be our daily bread.
Right.
And praise God. Let's worship the Lord as we sing this.
This is the air I breathe. This is the air I breathe. Your holy presence living in me. This is my daily bread. This is my daily bread. Your very word spoken to me, and I'm desperate for This is my daily bread. Your very word spoken to me, and I'm desperate for you. For you, and I'm desperate for you, and I'm lost without you. This is the air I breathe. This is the air I breathe. Your holy presence living in me. This is my daily bread. This is my daily bread. Your very word spoken to me, and I'm desperate for you.
How many of you feel that way tonight?
I got thinking about that song, and I wonder what it would be like if we were in a service tonight and there were desperate worshipers in the house on a midweek service, and we would worship, but we would worship out of desperation because we had such a hunger inside of us to just crave after him, to long after him with that desperation, like that song says. I believe our demeanor would change. A desperate worshiper, their actions and their thoughts, they don't care what's going on around them. They don't care what happened earlier today, because they are just longing to cling after God and holding on to the presence of God in such a mighty way. He can seem so far away, but he is just as close as a mention of his name. That is so awesome. I'm thankful to be in the house of the Lord tonight. I'm thankful for the opportunity to feel his presence, to minister to my church family tonight, and to share a word that God laid upon my heart this week. And before we get into the message, we're going to have a time of prayer. Sister White called earlier and said Brother White isn't feeling well, so we want to lift Brother White up in prayer. Is there anybody else that has a request tonight that needs prayer? Sister Grimm. Okay, definitely. Brother Mike. remember that need. Anybody else? Okay. Pray for John. Okay. Let's take these needs before the Lord. Lord, in Jesus' name, Lord, you know the need, Lord, before we request it, Lord. You said to cast our cares upon you, Lord, because you care for us, Lord. I pray for John tonight, Lord, in Jesus' name, Lord. He's his job, Lord, and you know the need in that situation, Lord, for Brother Mike, Lord, in that phone interview Friday, Lord, in Jesus' name, Lord, for Brother White as he's at home not feeling well, Lord, in Jesus' name, Lord. I pray for him, Lord, that your presence, Lord, will seep around him, Lord, because it is his desire to be in your house, Lord. It is his desire, Lord, to be in your presence, Lord, in Jesus' name. So I pray, Lord, for that tonight, Lord, in Jesus' name, Lord. I pray, Lord, for your presence, Lord, to minister, Lord, for you to do a work in this place tonight, Lord, in Jesus' name, Lord. I pray, Lord, for clarity tonight, Lord, for your anointing, Lord, in Jesus' name, Lord. For this message that's going to go forth, Lord, in Jesus' name, Lord. I'm just the oracle, Lord, in Jesus' name, Lord, that you chose, Lord, to bring this forth in Jesus' name, Lord. May it fall upon anointed ears and hearts and minds and be received, be responded to, and applied to tonight, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. If we can greet one another, shake somebody's hand real quick, and then we'll be seated. This is a Wednesday night Bible study, midweek service. I kind of got this set up here. This is kind of like how I teach upstairs. I kind of in my little comfort zone. I may want to sit down and kind of feel like I'm in your living room talking about the Word of God tonight. There's something that I want to give you the scripture that... I'm going to read quite a few verses in different areas of the Bible. I'm not saying to open your Bible and flip through your pages. I'll just read them and kind of explain them to you. And what I want to talk about tonight is I have this stone that I took out of the backyard. It's right in front of me. And what I want to talk to you for a few minutes tonight is about turning a stumbling block in our lives into a stepping stone. And in Psalms 51, verses 10 through 12, the Bible says, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of my salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit." David was writing this at the time, and he became distracted, and then a stumbling block came along in his life. He had something, and then he lost it. He once had a dance, a bounce, a jump in his step, a shout, and that was long gone at this time in his life when he fell and he stumbled. He lost his focus. He got distracted. He was a composer, musician, a songwriter, a lion, bear, and Goliath slayer, a trophy wife married into royalty, tax-exempt, killed his 10,000s, but that didn't even mean nothing at the time when he lost his focus and lost his direction, and that became a stumbling block in his life. He had eyes for another man's wife, for Uriah, and in 2 Samuel 11, 2 and 3, it says, "And it came to pass in an evening tide that David arose from his bed and walked upon the roof of the king's house, and from the roof he saw a woman washing herself. And the woman was very beautiful to look upon. And David sent and inquired after the woman. And one said, Is not this Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite?" David got distracted. The lust of the flesh consumed him. He had this guilt, this sin, this mistake, this thing hanging over his head. Nathan the prophet comes to confront David about this, and it becomes exposed. This was not covered up. You cannot hide when God spoke to a prophet and through a prophet that he read your mail. You did this, and there's no denying it. And I got thinking about this after reading through the Bread Program after a few years. You look at the correlation of some verses, and something kind of caught my attention. And in reading verse 10, it says, "Create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me." And the scripture reminded me when the Lord spoke to Moses, and he said, "Go out and send those 12 spies out to Canaan." And in Numbers 3 and verse 2, it says, "Send thou men that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. Of every tribe of their fathers shall ye send a man, every one a ruler among them." After 40 days of spying out the land, and 10 of them come back out of the 12, they were struck with fear. And the report of the 10 in verse 33 of that chapter says, "And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so here we are in their sight." They were struck with fear. Fear became a stumbling block. Fear consumed them, and it caused them to lose their focus on a promise that God says, "I'm giving this to you, it is yours." And they looked at the immediate, they looked at what was right in front of them, and they did not hearken to the voice of God and said, "You know what? What I see is causing a manifestation of fear in my life, in my spirit. I'm struck with this. I'm so mad at Caleb and what's the other ones? Joshua, that they, it turned to anger and it turned to envy. Caleb was one of those guys that says he stilled a crowd and he jumped up and got their attention. He says, "Let us go up there at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it." That's the spirit, the right spirit. The wrong spirit was, "Let's go stone those guys, because those guys, there's giants out there. They're from the family of giants, and all we saw was giants." And Caleb and Joshua was looking at the promises of God, and you know what? No more manna. I want the milk and honey. I want to be a landowner. I don't want to be a wanderer in the wilderness. We've been out here long enough. I want to receive the promises of God. Losing your focus will cause you to be a slave to the immediate. And the people of God had to walk away and die in the wilderness with unfulfilled promises, all from having a wrong spirit, a wrong attitude, and a wrong mindset. In Numbers 14, 22 through 24, it says, "Because all those men which have seen my glory and my miracles which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness and have tempted me now these 10 times, and have not hearkened to my voice, surely they shall not see the land which I swear unto their fathers, neither shall any of them that have provoked me see it. But my servant Caleb, he had another spirit with him." He had the right spirit. "And had followed me fully. Him will I bring into the land, whereunto he went, and his seed shall possess it." Having the right spirit affects my life, and it affects the life of the future generations, the ones that are coming up in front of us, the now generations, the ones, they have promises, that God has promises for them, but they want to see how we're going to react to the promises God has for us. A wrong spirit led to death, to what he had, to what God had for them. What he wants to give you, his plans, a hope, and for a future. Israel had a fear of giants. Not less than that will strike fear in some of our lives. These little eight-legged creatures that crawl up on the side wall in our bedrooms or in our bathrooms. There's all kinds of things that will strike fear in our life. And things will manifest itself in fear. Some have a fear of heights. Threw this out there about a week or two ago, and I asked the youth group, I said, "What do you guys think about going kayaking or canoeing?" And two of them said, "You know what? I am terrified of water." That's legitimate. They were honest about their fears. And the other one says, I cannot swim. I don't want to, don't even ask me. I don't want to go to that, you know. And I get all excited. I'm like, let's go do something fun. And they're like, pfft. It kind of just takes the air out of my tire. And I'm thinking, man, I want to do something with you guys. But, okay, if I put a life jacket on, I'm in an air tube, and we're in 2 feet of water, and they still won't go, okay, we'll go try something else. After this, wait a couple of weeks after all this rain. One of the ways that fear manifested itself a couple of weeks ago, Randy DM, we had a retirement party for him down in the basement, as many of you know, and it came to that. And Sunday morning, my wife got up early, and we were getting everything ready for Sunday school and all the tables back in order. And Sister Connie comes walking in about 9 o'clock, and my wife's been here for an hour, and she goes, "What's that up in the up on the ceiling tile?" And I'm like, "I don't know. Maybe it's an ornament or something that was left over from the party." And we look a little closer. It was a bat sticking upside down, and it caused Sister Connie to take a couple steps back towards the door. I'm thinking, oh, you know, that's a legitimate fear and a legitimate response to a manifestation of a fear that you have towards bats. I don't like them either. I can't stand them. So what we did was we found the fishnet. We got the bat off the ceiling. And we got it on the ground. And my wife found a roll of paper. I found a piece of cardboard, and I put it over the top of it. And she just started beating it. You know, that was a response that we had from a couple of the youth. But this is what it was. It was a manifestation of fear that rose up. If I would have never told you about it, you would have never known about it. That manifestation of fear was underneath the feet of everyone here tonight. Because it was on the floor. It was underneath the ceiling, it was on the ceiling tile underneath us. But it needed to be underneath the feet of the Sunday school department that walked in there. They needed to overcome this fear. They needed to put it under their feet. And if I had to do it over again, I was going to ask Sister Connie, come over here and stand on this piece of cardboard and put that spirit of fear underneath your feet. And what I have here tonight is a stone, and a lot of people, and if we all like to admit it, and I have some paper and some pen, and I would like to pass this out. And if you have a stumbling block or a fear in your life, I would encourage, Brother Al, can you help me pass those out? And Josh, can you pass those out? And I would like for you to write maybe a fear, a hang-up, something, a stumbling block in your life that you would like to have underneath your feet. And at the end of our Bible study, we're going to do something with those pieces of paper. You do not have to sign your name. Another stumbling block that some of us deal with is failure. And I'm going to read some examples of some people that spoke on failure, some famous people that we all know. Michael Jordan said, "I missed over 9,000 shots, lost over 300 games, 26 times I was trusted with a game-winning shot and missed. He said, I failed over and over in my life, and that is why I succeed." A stumbling block that in our life could be failures, something that we failed at and we just want to give up and not do again because it is a stumbling block in our life. A quote from Samuel Beckett. I do not know Samuel Beckett. I don't know if he's atheist or Christian or what, but I read some of these quotes, and I'm using him. It says, ever tried? No, no matter. Try again, fail better. Henry Ford, failure provides the opportunity to begin again more intelligently. I like that idea. Can you take a failure, something that you've done in your life and you face planted, and something that you've taken effort into and failed, And Henry Ford, of all people, says, it's the opportunity to begin again more intelligently. We learn from this. A reporter asked Thomas Edison, how many times did you fail before successfully inventing the light bulb? His answer was, I didn't fail 1,000 times. The light bulb was an invention with 1,000 steps. And they were stumbling blocks at one time, but by the time he got to the 1,000th time that he succeeded at doing this, and succession is not when you've done it, it is in the process of not giving up until you get it done right. It's about turning that stumbling block, that thing that's been hanging over your head, and putting it under your feet. If I can make this more personal, maybe you feel like you failed at giving a Bible study or saying the right thing at the right time to somebody. We've all done that. Maybe you put your heart into something and you felt like you failed and your spirit is crushed and you told yourself, you know what, I am never doing that again because the hurt is so strong. And in Proverbs 24:16, it says, for a just man falls 7 times and riseth up again, but the wicked shall fall into mischief. If I stay down and if I don't get back up, I take my place with the wicked. Getting back up is right, is just, is the right thing to do. But not getting back up, I take place with mischief. I get myself into trouble. And I got thinking about this, and I didn't know if it was proper to share, but we're all adults in here. How many of us don't know that have people, we have family members and loved ones that have gotten into, they were married, we went to their wedding, we went to their reception, we've been to their houses, and their marriage fell apart, and it failed, and they separated, but they want companionship, but they say to themselves, and they speak this openly, you know what, I'm never going to do that again, I'm never going to get married again. They say, what they're saying is, you know what, I'm never going to get back up. I'm never going to forgive myself or get in that position for myself to be hurt again. And what they do is they fall into fornication. And they end up living with somebody, and they put limitations on the relationship. And living with somebody, I believe, puts limitations on the relationship, but marrying somebody is an endless opportunity. It's never ending. That's why you put a ring on your finger, and I believe that. And that's how I perceive marriage. There are no limits in marriage. There are limits when you say, you know what, I will go this far in a relationship with you, but you know what, I'm going to stop right here. We can go this far. And I've seen where people that I know have had multiple relations, partners, and they've all hit the wall, hit the stumbling block at the same point in their life to say, you know what, I will go this far, but I won't go any further. And it hurts the other person because the other person wants to go further, but that person doesn't, and that person doesn't want to get back up, and they're stuck in their hurt, and mischief happens, and then that's where the fornication happens and all this, and that's where the trouble happens. So not getting back up gets me into trouble. But with the scrapes and the bruises on my hands and knees, my shins, I get back up. Renew a right spirit in me, O God. I remember riding my bike when I was younger, and I got my first 10-speed, and I wasn't big enough for my 10-speed. And I got up on the porch of a neighbor's house, and I got up to where I can get over the top of the center bar, and you know what? I fell over like a tree. But the thing is, I fell on another person's bike, and that little axle peg that sticks out, my knee hit it. I got scars all over my knees, but you know what? I didn't say, you know what? I'm never going to ride that bike again. I'm going to throw it in the trash. I got up on that bike again, and I rode myself home, and then I showed my mom and my dad, look what happened. I fell. I got back on that bike, and I still can ride one today. It's been a while, but I know how to ride a bike. My spirit is crushed, my heart is broken, and allow God to heal what has been broken, recover, rest, get back up. He intends for us all to overcome our obstacles. That's what puts a pep in our praise and gives us a shout when we come to church in the morning or on a Sunday night or on a Wednesday week service, is when he encourages us to get back up from when we fall, from when we hurt, when we failed, when we got distracted and we hit that stumbling block, and we turn that stumbling block into a stepping stone. If I want to, I just felt this in prayer. Don't give up on loving that person because you didn't get the response that you were looking for. But love that person through God's eyes with his heart. God makes something good out of a bad situation. The loss of his son, a fall, a failure, a distraction, turning point. David repents. He comes clean, falls on his face. Search me, O God. I want a renewed focus. I want a clean heart. I want a right attitude. That's what David was saying in those verses. David has another son with Bathsheba. His name is Solomon. He becomes the next king of Israel. God is able to turn any situation that is bad in our life and turn it around for good. Whatever it may be destined for, however it may bleak it may be, God is the way maker. He's able to turn things around. He's just saying, look up. Look up to me. I'm here to help you. I want you to rise up again. I want your heart to heal. I want your mind to heal. I want your spirit to heal. And there's going to be a time when we need that. We need that time of rest. And he's saying, get back up. I have something better for you. I do not want to be a slave of what's in front of me. I want to elevate. I want to take what's a stumbling block, and I want to ask you if you have those pieces of paper, if you could come up forward, and I want you, we're going to put them right underneath this this stone here, and whatever that has been a stumbling block of fear, distraction in your life, or whatever maybe you felt like you've had hanging over you, God wants to elevate you. I want you to put the piece of paper underneath the stone, and I want you to stand on top of the stone and know what it feels like to be an overcomer. We'll do this by faith and see it come to pass as we get back up from our faults and our failures. If there's a few that have something written down, if you want to bring it up to me right now. God wants to elevate you. He brought us to sit together, to bring us together in heavenly places. He wants to change our perspective on things. I'd encourage everyone, if you wrote something down, to come up right now and get behind Alan. We're gonna take a turn and just take a step. See what it feels like to be elevated a couple inches. Nobody's gonna look at this piece of paper. We're not gonna share with nobody, but I wanna take this time. feel a praise. I feel a praise for the victory that God's given some people, the victory tonight, that they're going to walk out of here with a victory in their step, with confidence, with a boldness that they may not have had before they came in here tonight. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Our confidence comes from the Lord. Our boldness comes from the Lord. Our overcoming power comes from Him. It is by Him, it is through Him that all things are possible. Hallelujah. Jesus, Jesus. If we can give God a hand clap of praise, hallelujah. If we can give Him a shout of triumph, Lord, we give You a shout of praise for the victory, Lord. For Yours is a victory in the glory and honor and majesty in Jesus' name, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, who always causes us to triumph in Your name, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. I thank You, Lord, for the praise that You've given me, Lord. I thank You, Lord, for the overcoming power, Lord, that is in Your name. Hallelujah, Lord. I thank You, Lord, for putting the enemy underneath my feet, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. That things that's been hanging over my head, Lord, it is under my feet in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah.
I thank God for that lesson of faith tonight. And before we are dismissed, Brother Tom asked if we would sing a song, and it's kind of a fast song, but you know, if we're going to step out on faith and whatever may come and may attack us, it's like when we first got the Holy Ghost. I remember when God filled me with the Holy Ghost, and I just knew everything was going to be just great. And my first day back at school, I was in school at the time, just a young boy. Boy, did I get attacked with everything that the Satan could throw at a 9-year-old boy. But it seemed like the end of the world to me. And I look back at what took place when I was 9, what took place when I was 16, and so forth, and in my 20s, and as a young married couple, and all these things. And you know what? One day when we stand before Jesus, when every knee shall bow, amen, and we should confess to Him that He is Lord, right, amen, we will know that it's going to be worth it all, amen. No matter what we have to go through, it will be worth it all. Praise God.
It's going to be worth it all. It's going to be worth it all. I know it's going to be worth it all. Some beautiful, happy day. It's going to be worth every long mile, every heartache and every trial. It's gonna be worth it all. Some beautiful, happy day. It's gonna be worth it all. It's gonna be worth it all. I know it's gonna be worth it all. Some beautiful, happy day. It's gonna be worth every long mile, every heartache and every trial. It's gonna be worth it all, one beautiful, happy day. It's gonna be worth every long mile, every heartache and every trial. It's gonna be worth it all, some beautiful, happy day. It's gonna be worth it all. It's gonna be worth it all. I know it's gonna be worth it all. wrapped it all one beautiful happy day. It's gonna be worth every long mile, every heartache and every trial. It's gonna be worth it all one beautiful happy day.
Let's sing that with me.
It's gonna be worth it all. It's gonna be worth it all. I know it's gonna be worth it all one beautiful happy day. It's gonna be worth every long mile, every heartache and every trial. It's gonna be worth it all one beautiful happy day. It's gonna be worth every long mile, every heartache and every trial. It's gonna be worth it all. It's gonna be worth it all. It's gonna be worth it all one beautiful happy day.
Hallelujah. Let's give him praise. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we know we can stand on the promises of God, standing on your word, Lord Jesus. God, that you never fail, God, that you are constant, Lord Jesus. You are the same yesterday, today, and forever, God. And God, we trust in you. We place our trust in you, Jesus. Thank you, God, in Jesus' name. Lord God, I pray that you go with each and every one of us here tonight. We thank you for your word. God, whatever we place under that stone tonight, God, help us to keep it there, God. Lord, we laid it at the altar. We laid it at your feet, Jesus. And Lord, we put that fear there, God. And Lord, we're going to turn that fear into a stepping stone, God, to draw us closer to you. God, go with us this week, God. Lord, I pray that you'll bring each one back, and thank you for bringing our pastor back home safely, God. Lord, I pray you bless our services this weekend. Let your power come down. And let your anointing be upon them, God. Have your will, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.